What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. We are a Youngstown studio production. Today is Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. We are, again, live from downtown Youngstown. Today is going to be Browns, Buckeyes, and a little bit of baseball at the end. So, obviously, we know, you know, the Browns, in the midst of their easy four-game schedule to open the season, have split. I'd argue they won the games that were probably more likely to lose, and they lost the games they were more likely to win. And it is what it is at this point. But, you know, I think it was Rex Ryan who might have said, "You are what you are." Or no, it was Bill Parcells that said that, "You are what you are." So, you know, let's just, you know, I threw out a graphic on Twitter the other day, and, you know, some people voted on it. And I put, so this goes out to Browns fans and Steeler fans. We're in Youngstown here, so kind of smack dab in the middle of both Browns country and Steelers country. And I said, how does a loss affect the rest of your day on a Sunday? Does it ruin your day? Does it not affect you at all? You move on? Or, you know, it sucks in the short time that it happens, but then you kind of move on. So the poll basically turned out half the people, 39%, said, yeah, my day is ruined. The other half said, sucks, but it bounced back. And like people, and 22% in the middle say, no, I move on. That's probably the smartest strategy there, you know, because I think, especially as Browns fans who have not experienced that success of a team like the Steelers fans have, at least over a long period of time, it's something you really have to learn to let go. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I did the show after the Jets game of like the, you know, the seven stages of grief of a Browns fan. And, you know, that holds true for a lot of different teams. But unfortunately, for Browns fans, we're used to, you know, losing some tough games, and hopefully we can move on from this. So, so that's that. So let's go on to kind of the game itself. So obviously a loss to the Atlanta Falcons, a team that the Browns are better than top to bottom. The Falcons have some nice players on their roster, but you know, they stepped up and made the plays, you know, when it mattered most. And the Browns obviously had a bunch of key guys out that affected the end result of this game, but no excuses. You have to step up and play to win the game. So I'm going to go over some studs and some duds from this game. So first of all, they get the ball, Atlanta deferred, have a great first drive, go down about 70 some yards, get down to, I think they were at the 4 yard line. It was fourth and three, you know, at the 4 yard line to go into the end zone. So I have really no problem with Stefanski going for it in that situation. Analytics say you probably should go for it because then you're leaving the team with a long field. And you're also, it's the first drive of the game. You know, obviously, you know, we know they lost by 3 points. So you kick the field goal there. Hindsight is 20/20. Yeah, we get that. So all different things would play out if the Browns, you know, let's say hypothetically they kick the field goal, they go up 3-0. The game might play out a lot differently. Or they even score the touchdown. The game plays out a lot differently the way those teams were aggressive and the way they go for it. So I'm okay with Stefanski going for it on that first drive. That's totally fine with me. But I'll get to another one later that I'm not okay with. Let's start with one of the positives. Obviously, Nick Chubb, probably the best running back in the NFL. He continues to excel. 19 carries for 118 yards and a touchdown in this game. That's good for 6.2 yards per carry. He has also carried it for 459 yards total in four games so far this year, which is 5.7 yards per carry. Leads the league in rushing. Went back to his home state of Georgia. Had his family there, a lot of his high school there to support him. That was really great. So let's go back to a dud in this one now. Another drive, if you remember, late in the second half, Brissett, I think it was a play action fake, found Donovan Peoples-Jones on a deep, I think it was a 42-yard pass play. Peoples-Jones dives, catches it at the 1 yard line, you know, on first and goal at the one, hand off to Nick Chubb, couldn't get in. Second down, they just straight drop back to pass and you know, ended up getting a holding call, which put them back to the 11, and they just weren't able to get into the end zone. There was also a screen play that if Brissett is able to get it to Kareem Hunt, he just waltzes in the end zone and unfortunately was not able to get him the ball. So you settle for three there. You know, you don't score in the opening drive. So at minimum, you leave 7 points, you know, three from the first drive, four from the touchdown. You did not score. So there's 7 points minimum you leave on the field in the first half when you were clearly the better team. So obviously, kind of another dud in this. Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, and Taven Bryant, three-fourths of your starting defensive line, sat out this game. We know what happened with Myles Garrett. Jadeveon Clowney's battling an ankle injury, and I believe Taven Bryant, some sort of lower leg injury as well. So their absence loomed large on the defensive line. The run defense was absolutely atrocious in the fourth quarter. You could see just some guys maybe either worn down or just, you know, outclassed by the Falcons' offensive line and just looked bad in that fourth quarter after playing pretty well for most of the game. And then obviously another blown coverage. So from my observation, it looked like a cover three. And if you're not familiar with what a cover three is, that's kind of when corners on the opposite side drop. They have the deep third on each of their side and a safety is deep. The two linebackers are supposed to drop deeper in coverage. And I believe one of the linebackers, I'm not sure which one, did not get deep enough to cover that last route, which ended up being a 42-yard pass. And then Ward got the face mask. So it made a bad blown coverage, a 57-yard play, and Atlanta went down and kicked the game-winning field goal. And then, you know, I say the game-winning field goal, but the Browns did get the ball back with about 2.5 minutes to go. And you can really see the loss of Deshaun Watson not being on the roster right now. He is still out for 7 more games. He actually is allowed to return to the team facilities 1 week from today. Just by NFL rule. So he's out for 7 more games. Brissett has played well in, you know, in the middle two games. I thought he struggled a little bit this past game. He did pretty well in the first half and struggled in the second half of this game and kind of struggled in the first game with Carolina. But, you know, I think with that elite quarterback, you know, he just didn't have enough time, couldn't scramble out of it and took that big sack on second down, which forced a later interception. So I think Deshaun Watson's absence really cost them the game. So if you think about it, you're missing Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, Taven Bryant. So 3/4 of your starting line. You lost the linebacker, Walker, last week, who was a starting linebacker, and no quarterback. But again, no excuses. You got to play with the guys. You're still playing 11 on 11, and you didn't get the job done. And then finally, Amari Cooper shut down, had 1 catch for 9 yards. And I had mentioned on that sack, it was the only sack I remember in the game Atlanta getting. If you remember, if Brissett does not get sacked on that, Amari Cooper is running wide open down the middle of the field for probably a 20-yard gain if he has the time to get him. But Joel Bitonio, who's one of your best players on the entire team, unfortunately gave up that sack. And I think Atlanta only rushed 3 on that play and dropped 8. So that's kind of one of my duds for the game there. David Bell obviously made a couple nice catches in this game, but Anthony Schwartz, he's just seems to be a no-show on this roster. And I'm wondering if it's time to move on from him, because he just has not had, he has not been the player we expected. All right. So I'm going to call this the how the hell did we lose that game little section here. So first of all, you know, we know the Browns lost by three. The defense, listen to this stat. This is absolutely insane. I've never heard of this in a team losing. The Browns defense gave up 5 yards, 5 yards total in the second quarter. They gave up 6 yards total in the third quarter. 5 plus 6, easy math out there, 11 yards, half of the game, and they lose. 11 yards total in the second and third quarters combined, and you lose the game. Their quarterback, Marcus Mariota, completed 7 passes. There's some probably seventh grade quarterbacks out there that complete 7 passes in a game. This is an NFL quarterback that completed 7 passes and his team won the game. He only had 139 yards, no touchdowns, and Denzel Ward had a nice interception in the game that was for naught. Cordell Patterson was the second leading rusher in the NFL coming into this. You know, didn't play a whole lot. 9 carries, 38 yards, 1 touchdown. You tell me you hold Cordell Patterson to 38 yards in this game and Marcus Mariota to 7 completions on the day. I'm thinking this is a 20-25 point win here. Drake London, their number one wide receiver, 2 catches, 17 yards. And then their elite tight end, Kyle Pitts, had a big catch in the opening drive, but that was it. 1 catch for 25 yards. And the Browns possessed the ball for nearly 2/3 of the game, 36 minutes to 24, and you lose. I don't know what it is at this point. If it's, you know, obviously you're missing some big names, but at some point, someone's got to step up and just make a play, get the job done, because that's really, really frustrating. Probably from a defensive perspective, a lot of guys playing out of their roles and maybe not NFL caliber defensive linemen, but your secondary played pretty well in that game. Obviously a late blown coverage. Nick Chubb is playing his butt off. The offensive line is doing a great job. Jacoby Brissett's doing pretty well. And you're just a better team, and you go down to Atlanta and you lose, and it's really, really frustrating. So we look overall at the schedule here, and the Browns now obviously sitting 2-2. You know, when it's kind of been like last year a little bit, where you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one. So right now you're through kind of the first quarter. I know there's 17 games, but you're kind of through the first quarter of the season, and you know, you're 2-2. We had hoped to be 3-1 after the first 4 games, but you are what you are. And now you got the LA Chargers coming into Cleveland this weekend. That should be a very tough game. Opening line looked like the Chargers were a 3-point favorite. They are a banged up team. They're one of the most talented teams in the NFL, but they are also struggling a little bit, banged up at 2-2. But look at this schedule coming up with, I mean, you have Justin Herbert at quarterback. Mac Jones might not play in that game, but he, you know, was a former first-round pick. Lamar Jackson playing like an MVP for the Ravens. Joe Burrow got to the Super Bowl last year. Then, you know, we'll talk about what happened with Tua, but Tua might be back for the Dolphins. Then Josh Allen, then Tom Brady. That's a murderer's row of quarterbacks right there. Some of the best in all of the NFL. And, you know, the room for error is gone. The Browns have to win a few of these games by the time Deshaun Watson gets back to be competitive to fight for a playoff spot late in the season. So that's what we're looking at right now. Obviously, you can only play one game at a time. You got to look one game at a time, but that's what it is right now. And, you know, it's just a very, very frustrating situation to be a Browns fan. And I'm sure a lot of those players in the locker room, along with the coaches, are very frustrated. I know a lot of people are on Kevin Stefanski. I actually thought he called a really good game. At some point, the players have to execute this. Joe Woods, I know he's a little bit on the hot seat right now. But he was playing with three starters out and your green dot guy, Anthony Walker, out of the lineup. So, again, the scheme is not that bad. Players have to step up. And, you know, I think coaches get too much credit for wins and they get too much blame for losses. It should kind of fall somewhere in the middle because players truly go out and win those games. So that's just my opinion. So with that said, let's take a look at the AFC North, what they did last week, what's coming up this week. And again, the AFC North did struggle. The Bengals did win their second in a row. They won last Thursday night to get back to 2-2. They beat the Dolphins 27-15. This week, they will play their division foe, the Baltimore Ravens. And obviously in that Bengals-Dolphins game, Tua, I don't know if you saw it, but it was an ugly, ugly scene. He had to get carted off after apparently two concussions in 5 days. And, you know, I know someone in the Miami medical staff was fired for that. But that was an ugly look for the Dolphins and the NFL as a whole. So the Ravens, as I mentioned, will take on the Bengals. They are both 2-2. So one team is going to get a win. One team's going to get a loss. So one team's going to have three wins. One team's going to have three losses after this week. The Ravens blow a big lead to the Buffalo Bills. They were up 20-3 in that game and end up losing 23-20. So, you know, both the Browns and the Ravens suffer 23-20 losses. And have tough games coming up this week. And then the Steelers took on the New York Jets, and they lost 24-20. So a lot of very similar scores in the AFC North. The Steelers, who are now 1-3, will travel to the Buffalo Bills this week. And it's the highest line of the season. Buffalo is favored at last look by 14 points, which is an incredibly high line in the NFL. So that's a look at the AFC North. And, you know, we had talked about how loaded the AFC looked coming into the year, and they still really are. You know, the Chargers, the Chiefs look great right now. The Bills look really good. The Dolphins look pretty good, but, you know, now they're out without their quarterback. There's a lot of really good teams, but no one looks invincible as we might have thought coming into the season. So let's take a look at the overall records in the NFL right now. So Dolphins right now heading up the East at 3-1. Buffalo is also 3-1 there. A little typo on my part, but the Jets 2-2. Patriots are 1-3. You got three teams sitting at 2-2 in the AFC North with the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals. In the South, you got the Titans and the Jaguars. Jaguars look real good so far this season, 2-2. And then in the West, KC looks great. Yeah, they look really, really good. Not missing Tyreek Hill all that much, but they are sitting at 3-1. Both the Raiders and the Broncos look very disappointing. So the AFC West doesn't look as quite intimidating as it does. But again, any given Sunday, I feel like just about any team can beat any other team in this league. So we'll see how that all plays out. So looking real quick at last week's games, Joe and I picked them on Thursday's show. I've made picks for 2 weeks. Joe made his picks last week. So last week I went 11-5, which puts me at 19-13 for the season. Joe picked last week, and that was his first week picking. He went 10-6 overall. So he is 10-6 for the season. We'll talk about Thursday. We'll talk about the next weekend's game on this coming Thursday's show. All right, switching now to Ohio State. Ohio State gets the 49-10 victory over Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Ohio State, number three in the polls. This was really kind of a sloppy game not very pretty. And Ohio State still comes out a 39-point winner. Rutgers was actually up 7-0 in this game. So Buckeyes finished this game on a 49-3 run. Buckeyes are now 9-0 all time against Rutgers. And other than a 49-27 victory in 2020, all of the victories have come by 35 or more points. And this past weekend's game was also the 600th at Ohio Stadium, where the Buckeyes are now 468, 112, and 20. So Vegas is just so smart. Once again, the line was 40.5. Ohio State wins by 39. The over-under was 59. And would you know it, the total was 59. So just again, Vegas is smarter than all of us, and they know what they're doing. So another Ohio State statistic, they are 26-0 over the last 26 Big Ten games at home. So in that time, that is the highest win total in consecutive games by any Big Ten team ever. All right, let's get to some of the Buckeye leaves from this past weekend's games for Ohio State. Obviously, the number one goes to Mayan Williams, who started the season as the backup running back. Travion Henderson was out once again, and you know, he could have played, but you know, they're just not going to push him or rush him, just like Jackson Smith and Jigba. But Mayan Williams, a very capable running back, would start for most teams in the country, except for Ohio State, but steps right in. 21 rushes, 189 yards, 5 touchdowns, which ties the school record with Keith Byers and one other player, which I'll tell you who that is in just a minute. On the defensive side of the ball, Steel Chambers gets the first Buckeye leaf, 11 tackles, 1 interception. Back to the offensive side of the ball, Julian Fleming, 4 catches, 54 yards, and 1 touchdown. Also, Tommy Eichenberg, the other linebacker, 9 tackles in this game, team captain. And then senior defensive end, Zach Harrison, 2 tackles, 1 forced fumble, and 1 pass defense for probably a future first round or very worst second or third round pick for the Buckeyes. Let's take a look at what Mayan Williams has done this season. I feel like this is worth diving into a little bit. So as I mentioned, he tied the school record with Keith Byers and Pete Johnson. Pete Johnson was a running back with Archie Griffin in the mid-70s, and then Keith Byers in the early to mid-80s. Both of them had 5 touchdowns in a game, and Mayan Williams ties that mark in this past game versus Rutgers. So for the season, Mayan Williams has 64 carries, 497 yards, 8 touchdowns already. So he's averaging nearly 8 yards a carry, 4 receptions for 26 yards also on the season. This is a guy that is just absolutely lighting it up. They used to call him, I think it was Meatball, and now he's like, nah, he's a short guy. He's a stout guy, but he gets after it, and he likes to go by the name Pork Chop. So definitely call him whatever he wants as long as he's rushing for that amount of yardage. So he is doing a great, great job for the Buckeyes. So with that said, let's take a look at what the Ohio State offense and defense is doing statistically on the season. Ohio State offense currently sitting at number one in the entire country with 48.8 points per game. They are number two in the country in yards per play at just a little bit over 8. They have scored the most touchdowns in the country offensively with 34, and yards per game, 529.6. Their average actually dropped a little bit this past week, but they are still number three in the country in yards per game. The defensive side of the ball, 14.8 points allowed. That is number 11 in the country. Yards per play, about 4.5, which is 13th best. They have only given up 8 touchdowns on defense, which is 14th best. And average yards per game, 263.8, which is number 10th best in the country. So that Jim Knowles defense is really improved and really doing some nice things. And, you know, their schedule coming into the season looked daunting with Notre Dame on there. Wisconsin, we thought was going to be really good. Michigan State, we thought would be tough. Iowa, we thought would be tough. Those games don't look so tough anymore. So Notre Dame was off this past weekend, but, you know, obviously started off 0-2 and has bounced back a little bit. But Wisconsin fired their head coach this past weekend. They're now sitting at 2-3 and have really, really struggled early on this season. Michigan State has dropped two games. Iowa, their offense, their defense is legit, but their offense stinks. It's terrible. If they had any semblance of offense, they could have beat Michigan this past weekend. Penn State does look much, much improved. They should be a challenge for the Buckeyes on October 29th in Happy Valley. Northwestern looks like that should probably be a pretty easy game. Indiana's not very good. Maryland's an okay team. That should be a tough game going to Maryland. And then obviously your last one at the University of Michigan. So if we take a look at the Big Ten schedule, the East versus the West, the East looks tough. The West does not. If you look at the East, Ohio State 5-0, Michigan 5-0, Penn State 5-0, Maryland 4-1, all very, very good teams in the top four in the East. The West, no one wants to win the West. If you look, everyone in the West has at least one conference loss. Every single team, Wisconsin has two, but the first six teams in the West are all 1-1. In the Big Ten race. Illinois looks like the best team right now in the West. Minnesota, who we thought might be the big best team in the West, lost to Purdue this past weekend. So a big time struggle for a lot of the teams in the Big Ten West. Nebraska's already fired Scott Frost. Paul Chris got canned from Wisconsin. So the Big Ten West, like I said, looks like a mess right now. So let's take a look at the top 25. Georgia survived an absolute scare. They were down 10 points in the fourth quarter to Missouri, who has two losses already this season, and just barely survived that game. They're sitting at number two. Alabama, who had a little bit of a tough game this past weekend with Arkansas. Their quarterback, Bryce Young, went out for a bit, but came back. And or well, should be back as day to day, but Alabama ended up winning that game pretty easily. Ohio State sits at number three, Michigan four, Clemson five, USC six, Oklahoma State seven, Tennessee eight, Ole Miss nine, and Penn State 10. That rounds out the top 10. Only three Big Ten teams right now in the top 10, with Ohio State at three, Michigan at four, and Penn State at 10. So their three best teams are real good, but the rest of the Big Ten is really sort of struggling right now. So that's what we're looking at in the Big Ten. And we will have plenty more for you on Ohio State coming into the weekend as they head for their first road game, believe it or not, as they travel to Michigan State this weekend. All right, let's go to some Cleveland Guardians baseball. They have two more games left in the regular season. I'm actually going to the game tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that for their last regular season. But the number of the day is 90. So the Cleveland Guardians are 90-70, 20 games over 500, looking to finish the season out strong. They will play and host the wild card round in Cleveland this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To me, it looks like they're going to be playing the Tampa Bay Rays. I'll know obviously for sure on Thursday who they're playing. It looked like Seattle had a little bit of lead on Tampa, but the Guardians as the number three seed will take on the number six seed as the number one and two seeds have byes. So it'll be three versus six and four versus five. So I'll take a look with you right now at what the postseason would look like if it started today. So Tampa Bay would come into Cleveland, play the Guardians. Seattle would travel to Toronto and face the Blue Jays. That's what it looks like in the American League. So the winner of Tampa and Cleveland will get the New York Yankees. The winner of Seattle and Toronto will get the Houston Astros. So those games are best of three. So obviously first to team to two wins, but the higher ranked team will host all three of those games, or up to all three of those games, two or three games, depending on how that pans out. So that's what it looks like in the National League. You got the Dodgers at the one seed, Braves at the two. You have St. Louis as the Central winner at three. That would put the Mets and the Padres at the 4-5 and St. Louis and Philly at the 3-6. I heard this interesting stat over the weekend. So Seattle locked in a playoff berth, and Albert Pujols, as we know, has been just tearing it up as he finishes out his career. So Albert Pujols is now up to, I believe, 702 home runs. And he hit 5 home runs in his rookie year. He came up, he was a late call up, and the Seattle Mariners actually made the playoffs in 2001. That was the last year they made the playoffs. So in the meantime, that Seattle missed the playoffs, Albert Pujols has proceeded to hit 655 home runs in that span. So pretty crazy stat. And just want to close it out on a few things. Obviously, we know it's October. We are going to have a show. I don't have a date for you yet, but last year we did our Halloween movie draft where we where each of us drafted 10 of our top favorite movies. This year, and we'll probably replay that draft. It was a good time. But this year, we're going to have a horror villain draft later on, so that should be a lot of fun. So you know, you got your Freddy Kruegers and your Michael Myers and your Chucky's and all those in there. Being in October, I thought that would be a little bit of fun to have with that. So we'll have that to look forward to in October. Obviously, plenty of Browns and Chargers on Thursday, and plenty of Guardians playoff talk as we near that. On Thursday's show, we will also have guests from Nicole and Joe from the Youngstown Marathon. Austin will join us for some high school football talk. And believe it or not, the Cavs tip off tomorrow night in their first preseason game. So October is one of the craziest sports months in the calendar. We're going to have a lot to talk about, plenty to talk about. And we also have a partnership with YSU Men's Basketball that we're going to start featuring some of their players and coaches on our show as their season nears. And hopefully trying to get in contact here with the women's team as well. So looking forward to that. Coach Calhoun and a bunch of the players with YSU Men's Hoops. So we will have plenty for you this month of October. So make sure you stay tuned, stay locked in, follow Youngstown Studio, follow the 330 Sports Show on social media and all the different platforms. So my name is Justin. Everybody have a great day. We will see you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the video.